I really feel in my spirit for the past couple weeks there's questions that our Heavenly Father wants to ask us. He's asked me these questions, and now I have the opportunity to share. One of the questions he asked me a couple weeks ago in praise and worship was, are you waiting for a move of God, or are you a move of God waiting to happen? Just sit and think about that for a while. As we are doing self-assessment of ourselves, getting revival inside of ourselves, being revival, are we just sitting waiting for God to move so that we can get involved in it? Or are we allowing Him to move inside of us to the point He has to be here in revival? That's a question. As I speak, I just want you to dwell on that questions. And the title this morning was Moving On. Will you turn with me to Philippians 3? Starting at verse 12. This is Paul speaking. And Paul had accomplished many things in his ministry as an apostle, going from church body to church body, instructing, teaching, guiding. And here he's at Philippi, and he's speaking. And he says, I don't mean to say that I've already arrived or achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection which was Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, dear brother and sister, I have not achieved it, but I focus on one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to that which lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. Let us who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress that we have already made. Sometimes in my life, the hardest thing for me to move on from is what Paul is speaking here for us to let go of. The past. Forgetting the past. The past times that you laid hands on somebody and they didn't get healed. Past times that you witnessed to somebody and they flat out denied Christ. The times that we moved in the Spirit of God, but we didn't see anything happen. They're hard to forget about because they're brought back to us. But I want to speak over this congregation this morning. We're moving on. As a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to speak over you. That's no longer there. The enemy has no right to bring up that past failure, guilt, or whatever you might have had. What if he didn't? What if he won't? What if he... Hey, it's what if he does. He will. So I just speak over this congregation right now. Anything that is in your past that holds you back from ministering, laying hands on somebody, just being in their presence, believing that the anointing of God's going to flow through you, that is completely broken. The enemy is not allowed to speak that anymore into your ear. It's not a hindrance. It's not a stopping point. From now on, we're moving on past that. We're forgetting the things of the past that held us back, and we're moving on, just as Paul spoke that we should do. As we press on towards the mark for the prize, we still need to hold on to the things that we've learned, the things that we have allowed to be developed inside of us, that we do those. If you know to do good and don't do it, it's sin, according to the Word of God. There's things that we have learned to do, and if we're not doing them, I don't know how we can expect God to give us more to do. As we practice the things we know to do, we'll move on. Each and every one of us is at a different place in that. But when we learn something, he expects us to develop it and to use it in whatever aspect it is. An example in the Bible that I thought was remarkable is John the Baptist. Everybody know who John the Baptist was? You can find and read about John the Baptist in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 1, and John 1, for those taking notes. That's where it speaks about John the Baptist, who he was. The anointing that was on his life was the same spirit as Elijah. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament prophet. We'll put it that way. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. So what did the Old Testament prophets do? They prophesied the coming of the Messiah. That was their purpose. That was their passion. Go back through of all the prophets. They had a passion. You know, the one's coming. He's coming. King's coming. The Messiah's coming. Things are going to change. That's what they prophesied. And signs and wonders followed them because they were prophesying of the coming Messiah. Side note question. When was the first person filled with the Spirit of God in the New Testament? I'm not talking about he rested upon him or he came upon him to do great works. I'm talking about the New Testament. When was the first person filled with the Holy Spirit? Just a question. A lot of people think it was in the upper room when the Holy Spirit came. There's countless passages of where people were filled with the Holy Spirit prior to that. That was in the doing with power when the Holy Spirit rushed in there. But he was already here. You know why he was already here? Because Jesus was here. And he was filled with the Spirit of God. So we got to look at the fact things changed as soon as Jesus was conceived. Not born, when he was conceived. An example of this is when Mary went to see Elizabeth. Once she spoke, Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what the Bible says. Look it up. That's what it says. It also says that John the Baptist was going to be filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. Well, guess what? I believe that same day when Jesus met John, they were both in the womb. The mother got filled with the Holy Spirit. What do you think John did? He was filled with the Holy Spirit from birth. I think that was designed meeting by God. He designed that. And it's just amazing how things like that happen. And then later on in life, when Jesus started his ministry, he goes down to the river where John has been baptizing hundreds of people because they were repenting, wanting a life changed, they knew something had to change, and he sees Jesus coming. And he recognized that he was the one. Even though he's a cousin, he was the one. He was the Lamb of God, and he baptizes him. And in that point, he sees the Spirit descend like a dove, and he also hears a voice from heaven. Now let's move forward. Maybe a year into Jesus' ministry. We have John in prison asking his disciples, is he the one, or should we look for another? I have a hard time wrapping my head around that one, because in his heart and in his spirit, he knew he was when he baptized him. Now he's in prison. Man, I'm not so sure. Is this the one or not? Because they also, the rulers of that age and time, thought John was the one for a time period. But he wasn't. But he knew who the one was. But now he's sitting in prison wondering, maybe, I don't know, maybe he isn't. How could you get from a point of knowing absolutely, positively, that this is the one, to questioning? I have my own theories. I have my own thinking. Because he was the last and final Old Testament prophet. He fulfilled what he was supposed to do when he baptized Jesus. His purpose was fulfilled. Now what should he do? I think he should have followed Jesus. Personally, I can't write down stuff. I personally feel he should have been following Jesus after that point. Because now the Old Testament is fulfilled. Everything they prophesied about him has been fulfilled. Now here he is, still doing his own thing. Because it's comfortable, it's easy to do. I'm used to it. That's what I've done since birth. And he didn't stop to think, oh, maybe I should follow the Messiah. Just food for thought. There's times we get to places where we just need to stop and think. Should we follow? You know, in Mark 16, we got Matthew 28, we have Acts 6, for those taking notes, where it talks about Jesus' ascension, things that he said prior. In Luke, we have the Emmaus Road, which is completely long because he goes from the beginning to the end. Could you imagine walking with Jesus on a path, and he gives you the message from the beginning to where he died? What better sermon is that? When the master gave the sermon. Those two individuals were, to me, extremely blessed that day. But in Mark 16, we have where it says that these signs shall follow those who believe. Correct? What signs? You cast out demons. You take up serpents and they won't hurt you. You can drink any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. You can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. You can raise the dead. Okay? These signs follow those that believe. Why believe? And I go out, and they're not following me. I'm going to speak about me. Okay, they're not following me like they used to. Whose fault's that? All I need to do is believe that they're following me. I'm not seeking after them. They're just supposed to be there because I'm there. And why are they there? Because who's inside of me is here. All I need to do is believe that he can do it through me. Well, there again, we might have to forget about the past. Yes, he can flow through each and every one of you. There's not a special thing that you have to do. You have to be born again, and you must believe that he's wanting to do it through you. It's time for us to move on. It's time for these things to be happening through us on a daily basis. That's revival. You know what's going to happen when these things happen on a daily basis through each and every one of us? A revival has to start because revival has started inside of you, inside of you, inside of you. That's where it must start. And this revival is coming, but I'm not waiting for that move. I want to be that move. Each and every one of us should have that same desire inside of us. We want to see God move. Not to say who we are, but to see people set free, delivered, healed. Like Paul said, I'm not bragging that I've arrived, but man, he accomplished a lot. And he didn't think he arrived. You know, I didn't want to say this. I'm not puffing myself up at all. Paul said one time to a group of people, I thank the Lord that I pray in the Spirit more than all of you. And he probably was true. I don't know how often people pray in the Spirit. I don't. It's not my place to judge. I just know at one time I was praying in the Spirit quite a bit. And I know one time he had me for a specific reason to pray 24 hours in the Spirit. No English, no talking to anybody. Okay. Now, I didn't do that or say that to brag on myself. It's something he wanted to accomplish. Guess what? He accomplished it. Not just what I was praying about, but in me, he accomplished something. Now, that praying in the Spirit for 24 hours don't just happen. You know, years upon years and years upon years of 15 minutes, half hour. You don't just jump into something like that unless he moves upon you to do that, and he can. He can take completely over and just do that. But what I want to express is I'm no longer waiting for a move of God to happen. I want a move of God to happen, but I'm waiting for it and expecting it in me. I want to be a move of God. I want to stay in the house and take the house and move with God. Not doing it on my own. See, when we try to do it on our own, like Elwood's, that's when things happen and we fail because we aren't taking God with us and doing what he wants us to do. But there's many of opportunities that I'm guilty. Had I asked for forgiveness that I let slide by because I was thinking about something else, but God brought somebody. I don't want that to happen anymore. And if it does, I want to be fewer and fewer in between because I want the move of God to be here. And I truly believe it's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Now, I don't know if there's anybody here that wants to move on, forgetting the things of the past and moving on. I just like everybody to close their eyes. I don't want to show hands or anything like that. I just want you to get real before God. Because I feel from this moment on, this morning on, we're going to move on. I really believe that is a word from the Lord, his voice speaking, that he wants us to move on from here. Because he wants to move. So if there's anything in your back of your mind that you think you would mess up, that you'd screw up, that you wouldn't do it right, don't even think about that. Be instant and in the moment when God moves. Those things, forgetting those things that are past, the wrong things, the wrong ways we might have did it, might we mess up? Yeah, we might. But what is it worth when God moves through you? And that's what he wants us to do. He wants to move through us to the point that there's no hindrance, nothing stopping us. If someone comes up to you and asks, what do you do? Well, I lay hands on people and they become healed. I raise the dead. I walk with God. Well, who are you? Well, I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm a child of the King. No, that's not what I mean. Oh, yeah, well, I do construction too. It's all in our perspective. What's the first and foremost thing? It's God moving on. The other thing is you might have doubts whether or not. Evidently, John the Baptist had doubts. But Jesus said, go on back. All you have to do is tell him that the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk. Those Mosaic miracles are happening. Ones that only, you can't explain it but God. There's some that can happen that are explainable. Some you can't explain. He has no ear, now he has an ear. Glory. He's never seen before, now he sees. He's never walked before, now he walks. That's not a healing. That is a miracle of God. And he says, tell John that. So I believe John, in the end, in his heart, realized who he was before he was beheaded. Which, to me, would be a blessing to have it confirmed. But if it's that easy, when you see the Son of God, see the Spirit of God, hear the Father speak it, and still doubt, there's no condemnation for any of us when we do. None. I don't know the prison conditions that he was in that brought him to that place and that thought pattern. I really don't. But I don't think any of us suffer that much to the point that we doubt whether or not he's going to move through us, that he's going to heal this individual. He's going to change their financial means. He's going to move in their lives. Each and every one of us have a different passion when it comes to the gifts also. Some of us just know that he'll provide. Some of us just know he's going to heal. Some of us, without a shadow of a doubt, they're going to be raised from the dead. Doesn't matter. If he says to do it, we're going to do it, and it's going to happen because he said it. Now, some of these things aren't easy to believe, but if we believe, these signs will follow us wherever we go. So whatever area that you feel stronger in, that spiritual gifting, cultivate it. Allow it to follow you. There's two different words in the different translations. One of them has a company. To accompany means to go along with or join in action. So if they're joining in action, therefore we must be doing some sort of action. When we do some sort of action, that's when the gifts, the miracles, signs, and wonders happen, because we're doing an action. And they come alongside of us. The others is follow, which means to move in the same direction. So when the Holy Spirit's leading in a certain direction, as we go that way, those signs follow right along and are ready to be there for whatever needs to be taken care of. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you that you're moving in our midst. You're encouraging us. You're teaching us. You're showing us by your Spirit that we need revived inside of ourselves, that we can be a move of you, allowing your Spirit to flow through us, changing lives, healing, delivering people, so that the move of God that has been prophesied years and years ago, moving from the east to the west, will come forth, that you will be glorified, that lives will be changed, the multitudes will come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. That you will receive all glory and honor for it. And I count it an honor and a privilege to be part of it, Father God. Help us, encourage us, Holy Spirit, to do our part. Forgetting those things that are the past, we press forward towards that prize. That prize being forever being with you.